The past 3 months, our lives have been filled with talk of coronavirus, lockdown, and social distancing. And those who are over 70 may have spent a lot of time indoors. You've been isolating yourself to protect your health. You may even have been shielding if you're at that higher level of vulnerability. But what if, instead of locking yourself away for 3 months, you decide to isolate on a sailing boat? You could pack enough supplies for a few weeks at a time, and if you were out at sea, you would be hundreds of miles away from the nearest person. You can cough and sneeze as much as you want. Now, you may remember that yesterday on the program, we had a call from John Passmore. I just read the comment out, actually, and I thought, that's amazing. He said he was over 70, but instead of staying at home and shielding, he decided to pack his things and head out to sea. So John sailed north. He went over the Shetland Islands and then down to the Atlantic Ocean, to the Azores, took a hard left there. That's the set of Portuguese islands more than 900 miles west of Lisbon. And he's now arrived back in the UK and docked in Falmouth and joins us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
So you set off as lockdown was impending, did you?
Well, yes. You remember back in March, they were all talking about it. And I was in Lowestoft, and I suddenly saw that the French authorities were ahead of us, and they had actually outlawed all types of pleasure boating. And they weren't even allowing yachts out. They would close bridges, and they would barricade them in, and so on. And I was the wrong side of a bridge.
Right.
And so I panicked, and I left within the hour, and I just got out the other side of the bridge.
Because you've got a boat, and it's there, and it's ready to go, is it?
Well, yes, I spend an awful lot of time on it, pretty much all the time now, and I sail around, and I've always loved to do that. And my family are at home in Woodbridge in Suffolk, and we see each other from time to time, and they come and join me sometimes.
So for those people who need to, as soon as you say the word boat or yacht or whatever, they need to know dimensions and what sort of boat it is, so help us understand it.
Well, it's very small. It's 10 metres, 47 years old, and it's just fine for me.
And forgive my ignorant questions, but you've got a motor on it, or it's all sail?
I do have a motor. I hardly ever use it, but it gets me in and out of harbour and things like that, but it doesn't get used very much.
So you set off from Lowestoft, and you decide you're going to go north first, is that right?
Well, immediately, in a panic, I just went to Walton Backwaters, which is a wonderful area of Stoltings and creeks where the smugglers used to hide out. And I sat there and thought, well, what am I going to do? And my first inclination was to go up to the Shetlands and the Orkneys, where there are lots of secluded little coves where you can isolate yourself. But then the local authority up there said, please don't come, because if you get ill, our hospitals can't cope with an influx of camper vans and sailors and second homeowners. And I could see the sense in that. So I thought, well, I know what I'll do. I'll just get myself 12 miles offshore. Then I won't trouble anybody and nobody can bother me. And the obvious thing to do was to go down and out into the Atlantic. But between where I was and the Atlantic is the Dover Strait, which is only 22 miles wide. And of course, one half of it, the French would arrest me. And I didn't trust the border force in the other half not to do the same. So I thought, well, I better go the other way. And so I crept out of Walton Backwaters before dawn. I avoided the radar station, which monitors the approaches to Felixstowe Docks, by creeping across the stone banks like smugglers used to. And once I was 12 miles off, I turned left and went up the North Sea and over the top of the Shetlands. And the great advantage of that was I got to see Rockall, which very few people ever see. Rockall is a lump of granite about 250 miles out in the Atlantic west of Scotland. And I got to see it at dawn, and it was the most amazing thing. And I took this fabulous photograph of it, which it's on my blog if you want to see. It's oldmansailing.com.
Yeah.
And then I just carried on down the Atlantic. And while you were all sitting in your gardens having all that wonderful sunshine in May, I just had a series of gales all the way. And I blew out my mainsail completely. I mean, totally destroyed it. And the original plan had been to sail round the Azores and then come back, because obviously I wouldn't be able to land. But instead of doing that, I just got myself within 2 miles of the island of Graciosa and spent a couple of days floating around organizing a replacement mainsail.
I mean, this is amazing, because while you've been talking, I've been trying to look up the places on my, of course, phone, and I've got Rockall. So, yeah, that's a long way out from northwest of Britain. Amazing. Yeah. And I've asked it to find me a route between the Azores and Rockall, and it says it can't do it. So you've stumped my phone for a start. So how far did you go, John, do you think?
Well, my noon to noon positions, which don't actually represent the distance sailed, because sometimes you're tacking against the wind and you'll do a long, much further that way than the direct route. But the direct route, noon to noon positions, was something over 3,600 miles.
Good grief. Now, when you are sleeping, again, forgive the non-sailor question, how do you stop the boat running into trouble?
Well, years ago when I started sailing, you used to have an alarm clock and get up and have a look. Then they invented radar with a guard zone, so that'll wake you up if something comes within 5 miles or something. But now we have a wonderful device called an automatic identification system, known as AIS, and that broadcasts my boat's name, position, and everything, course and speed, to anybody who's within, say, 20 miles. And also broadcast their positions and the same information back to me. And it's utterly brilliant. And it'll sound an alarm, and I can look at the screen and I can see, yes, there's a great big tanker. His name is the tanker number one or whatever. And this is course and speed, and I can call him up if I want to and say, look, I want to go across your bows. I hope you won't mind. I don't think we're going to run into each other. And he'll say, that's fine. I'll keep to my course, and so on and so forth.
What did you do for food? Did you pack enough?
I had plenty. I had 49 cans of sardines, for one thing. I had enough beer for 90 days, just as well, because I sprang a leak in the water tank on the way back, and I started running short. So the beer saved me. The good thing I had sardines, because I don't eat meat, which is just as well, because I sprang a gas leak and I wouldn't have wanted to eat cold stewed steak. But I did become the greatest expert in all the different things you can put into tuna or sardine salad. Obviously, sultanas are good. Peanuts are very good. Curry powder. I wouldn't try Nutella. I tried it, but I wouldn't recommend it. But pretty much anything else is good.
When you got to the Azores, could you dock and see some, you know, have some social moments there, or were you then in another kind of lockdown?
Well, no, I spent a couple of days floating around using their mobile phone signal, and on the second day, the maritime police called up on the radio and asked me if I wanted to be rescued, and I said, no, thank you very much, and they said, well, you can't come in. I said, I don't want to come in. Because if I did that, I would then have to go through all the isolation and everything. So they said, well, come back when things are better, and I promised I would.
Gosh.
And then after a couple of days there, I set off back again. So it was 42 days in all, and I'm now in Falmouth. I've got a few spare parts still to arrive. I've been able to do a bit of work. I have a little part-time thing I do, which pays for stuff as long as I have a mobile phone signal. And I should be off again. I'm going down to the Canaries this time, because this time of year there's not much wind in the Azores. So I go around the Canaries, and then I'm due in Porto, in Portugal, the third week of August. A family are flying out. We're going to have a week in an Airbnb. And then I shall make my way back up the Atlantic coast back home again.
I think that's the most stylish lockdown I've heard about so far, John. Very
well,
good.
I've had a well of a time, I must say.
I can tell. So, well, thank you very much. And your blog is oldmansailing.com.
That's me, yep.
If people want to hear more, see more, they can get it there. Thank you so much, John Passmore, who I'm very grateful to him for listening to the show with all his travels. What about that? Isn't that amazing? Have a look on the map, Rockall and the Azores, and he went anti-clockwise. In the home